We are living through history. We are living through redemption. We are living through extraordinary times and inspiring events. 18,000 Jews, Chai, are congregating for an AIPAC convention to advance the cause of Eretz Yisrael and the cause of Jewish redemption in an unprecedented manner, a fashion which history has never witnessed. And standing on the sidelines, to a degree, part of me wishing I were there, I can only think of the following miracles that are unfolding before our eyes at this convention. Number one, most people who are in attendance, living in Chutz Laaretz, who don't yet have the opportunity or the privilege to live in our motherland, but are living the experience of Israel and the return to Israel with such investment, with such emotional engagement and identification. There's a beautiful medrash in which Moshe makes his final plea for entry into Eretz Yisrael. Having failed in his 500 prior tefillos, he finally turns to Hashem and says, well, why does Yosef enter? And I've been lugging his bones for 40 years through the Midbar because Moshe attended to it personally. And Hashem turns to Moshe and says, Yosef was Hodeh B'Yartzo, you weren't Hodeh B'Yartzo. Yosef and Moshe share one thing in common. Neither of them really lived in Israel. Yosef was stripped from his homeland at the age of 17. Moshe never saw Israel. But yet Yosef always identified very deeply with the events in Israel. He was always referred to as an Ish Ivri, whereas Moshe, at that pivotal moment when he meets Yisro, allows himself to be defined as an Ish Mitzri. And so much of the challenge of living outside of Eretz Yisrael is to live the Israeli experience even from afar. And this is such an overwhelming and affirming moment to live Israel, to put all other values aside, work, community, responsibility, busy schedules, and commit to living the land of Israel and to live the development and struggle that we live in Israel on a daily basis. Number two, to see so many types of Jews from so many walks of life who unfortunately are so splintered and fractured. It's part of the curse of living not outside of Israel. In the state of Israel, we also have our splinters and our fractured society. In some ways, it's even worse. But to live the experience of exile. Exile is an experience of division and bifurcation and sectoralization. And to see all those differences fade, and to see one common kahal unite around the land of Israel and the return to Israel. The parsha that we read, Parshas Vayikra, and we're reminded of the fact that we exist not just as individuals facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as a kahal, and when we sin as a kahal, v'nel m'meini kahal, so we offer a special korban, par halam davar shel tzibur. And the Gemara responds, as I mentioned in last week's Parsha, that only Jews in Israel are referred to as Kahal because life outside of Israel is sporadic, nomadic, and isolated, even though it presents the appearances of unity and of integration. But to see Israel creating that mode and that dynamic of unity and community, unity and community that fuse individuals from different walks and different backgrounds and obscure those differences and bury those differences. Tomorrow, and I'm recording this on Monday, tomorrow is Tuesday. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShanah. We were born as a people and we were given a unique method of counting time and living through the dynamic and the rhythm of time. And we're looking forward to celebrating the holiday of our liberation and of our nationhood. And tomorrow we'll recite Hallel in the first Perek. Moshivi Akeres Habaisa, Mekimi Me'af Ardal, Me'ashvos Yerim Evyon. Hashem has lifted us from the pit of history He's lifted us from the ashes of our suffering. 80 years ago, we were lifted from the suffering of the Holocaust, 75, 80 years ago. Leoshivi imne divim, imne divi amo. Now we're among princes, we walk among kings, and to see all the distinguished people and the leaders who are desperate to be part of our convention and our support of Israel and this wonderful organism that has helped advance the cause of Israel. Leoshivi imne divim, imne divi amo. Moshivi akeres habaisa. And we have returned the woman back to her home. Eim habanim smecha. The woman that had been displaced. Eim habanim smecha. The mother is once again happy in Eretz Yisrael, as a mother is happy and happy about her children, even when they're distant. The mother cares about a child, even when that child doesn't reside under the roof, because that child always loves and cares for the mother. So it's not just a nace to see people and a thrill to see people living Israel from a distance, but to see the unity that Israel continues to install. And it's also inspiring to witness people who aren't part of our direct Jewish experience affiliating themselves around Israel, because it reminds us that as much as this experience of resettling our land and returning to history and struggling as a nation, as much as it feels national, it's really a universal experience. It's really the march of mankind to return to a state of paradise, to return to a state in which the world and its cosmological order is restored, and the Jews are living in their land, but not just living in their land insularly and self-centeredly, but trying to inspire our world towards the values we so deeply believe in from our perch in Israel. One of the nicknames for Israel is Afsei Aretz, the corners of the earth. Chazal tell us that from time immemorial, every single nation wanted to have a foothold and a toehold in Israel, because they realized this was the Beis Elokim. They realized this was the Shar HaShamayim. And to see Israel once again returning from its slumber and its dormancy of thousands of years, a cursed land, a parched land, cursed by the divine neglect, to return the land itself to become an Afsei Aretz, the center of so much interest, so much desire, so much affiliation, not just amongst Jews, and not just politically, but the interest being stirred in part because of Israel's role politically, but also Israel's role economically in a changing world, a world of technology, a startup nation. It's a beautiful Rashi in Parshas Vizos HaBracha about the role of Zevulun. I think we should rename our startup culture the Zevulun culture. The Torah writes about Zevulun, Sham Yizbuchu Zivchei Tzedek, they will be responsible for sacrifices. Ki Shefa Yimim Yinaku, they will draw upon the material wealth of all the nations. Usfune Timune Chol, because they reside along the coast, and they were involved in commercial interactions and trade and exchange. Rashi describes the following scenario where nations would arrive in Israel, drawn by the commercial opportunities along the coast, riveted by the financial gain promised to them by the wealth of our land offered by the tribe of Zevulun. But while they were in Israel, they decided, why don't we just visit Yerushalayim and see this nation that worships the one God, see this novelty of monotheism. And the commercial, financial, technological interests would draw them into the religious and moral orbit and sphere of the Jewish people and ultimately yield zivchei tzedek, sacrifices of morality and of justice, whether they are ritual ceremonies or moral awakenings, the power of commerce and the power of culture to draw people, even those who aren't initially or immediately interested in religion and moral improvement and instruction, to the orbit of the Jewish people, to inspire them by our message. To see the various individuals who are aligning themselves with the Jewish people, as we would say, coming out of the woodwork, affiliating themselves through the agency of AIPAC, is another inspiring part of this week. And finally, to witness the puzzle of our final redemption being carefully crafted. Because our final redemption is a puzzle. It's a hybrid. It's a union of divine intervention, supernatural miracles, unprecedented revelation, after thousands of years of dormancy, coupled with, in some ways instigated by human initiative, propelled by a human engine, fueled by human inspiration, human effort, the great duet of Jewish history, the great duet of Shir HaShirim, and in some ways, recovering and rectifying a previously lost opportunity. Am Yisrael lost an opportunity 2,000 years ago, and we are recovering from that lost opportunity and repairing it. On the one hand, part of our loss was anemic return to the land of Israel. Only 40,000 people returned with Ezra, with Zerubbabel, and even those people with the riffraff and the non-pedigreed. Most of the aristocratic upper class remained in Babel, too comfortable in Persia. But there was a second missed opportunity, a second failure. Because then, as now, political opposition was assembled to the Jewish return to its homeland. The locals, whom Sancheirav had redeposited in Israel, were opposed to the Jewish attempts to build their land and to lay the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash, and they wrote letters of animosity, of hatred. Katvu Sitna, the Pasuk in Daniel, reminds us. In Ezra. And somehow the Jews in Persia, despite their influence, didn't rally to the cause of the Jews in Israel, didn't lobby, didn't labor King Koresh to help their brothers and to provide a counter political weight to all the hatred and hostility, to all the animosity, to all the aggression that was being lodged at the Jewish settlement in Israel. And now to witness the Jewish people arising as one and providing that backbone, providing that support system, and rallying against all of our political foes and creating a counterweight and an influence to assist this return is literally undoing the failure that has laid bare and unattended for 2,000 years. So it's a celebration for Jews. It's a week of celebration, nicely scheduled in that window, that pocket between Purim and Pesach, where redemption is in the air. We consider our salvation as well as our liberation, the dawn of history, the dawn of Jewish history. But along with the giddiness, the thrill, the pride, the triumph, the vindication, and the celebration, as always, in general, and in particular, in the very, very delicate and complicated waters of redemption, lie danger. What are the dangers? What are the moderations and calibrations necessary? Number one, at a practical level, sometimes we simplify human events. We simplify and assume. Baruch Hashem, we live in a period in which Jews can wield such influence and can affect the political situation. But both in the macro level and in the micro sense, not to compare them, obviously, we've realized the fluidity of politics, the unreliability of political influence. Mentioned before the Holocaust, and we realize how quickly it can all turn, and completely differently, obviously, but in the micro sense, since this is an American event, many Americans just underwent a very fracturing and fractious election experience, contention, upheaval, shattering previous conventions and previous notions, which were meant to be or assumed to be invulnerable and durable. So today's political influence could be tomorrow's mirage and tomorrow's nostalgia. And as much as we feel Baruch Hashem confident in our ability to shape these events, we must remind ourselves about how transient human accomplishments are and human efforts, and in no way balk or in no way flinch or halt or hesitate about applying these forces, but realize that we occupy a world of transience, not a world of long-term, durable organs and forms of pressure. Number two, of course, to remind ourselves that this is a divine saga, a divine drama. So often the challenge is to retain that vision, because for so many it is cast in the very confusing shell of geopolitical dynamics, and it's cast in the backdrop of colonialism and imperialism, and crusaders and attempts to westernize and certainly modern liberal sensitivities, which almost instinctively and blindly favor the would-be underdog and casting the Palestinians in that light or the Arabs in that light. And we have to remind ourselves that as much as we engage in the geopolitical experience, because we believe that redemption is going to carry a human flavor to it, we have to engage through human convention, we can't forget that this is the book of Tanakh being turned page by page. And we're writing that final book. And there's a divine drama that's ineluctable, whose terminus is independent of human activity. Its pace might be dependent. Its shape, those who will craft those final lines, may be determined by human fortitude and courage and vision. But we can't immerse ourselves in an attitude which suggests that this process will be triumphed, will be concluded, will be achieved solely through human intervention and solely through human convention. And sometimes the more that we advance or progress along a human track, the more difficult it is for us, and not just during the week of the AIPAC convention and the AIPAC celebration. For those of us in Israel, it's even more difficult year-round. Every time we witness another accomplishment by the State of Israel, either military success or socioeconomic success, we tend to feel proud, we tend to, as we should, because this is a Kiddush Hashem. What happens to the Jewish people in their homeland reflects upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our world. Sometimes we forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still deal the final hand and the convincing change. And sometimes we allow ourselves to be lulled into naivete and into myopia during moments of human success. And then we are unfortunately less prepared to deal with the moments in which we struggle as humans to advance religion, to advance redemption towards its conclusion. And we sometimes do not carve out, we eliminate the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this process, which is a very, very delicate, delicate balance between human initiative and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reciprocating. So one challenge is to remember the transience of human convention. Two is to remind ourselves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role rather than casting it solely in geopolitical terms. A third issue, which I think is a very acute issue for those of us on the other side of the ocean, much of this activity and political brainstorming and channeling, mustering of political clout is geared towards one particular issue which we still are baffled by and struggling towards in Eretz Yisrael. And it is probably the issue, but it's certainly not the only issue. The issue of extending our sovereignty in our homeland, faced with opposition, faced with recalcitrance, faced with military and violent opposition and aggression. Some people call the desire for peace or the peace program or the solution to the Palestinian issue. And that seems to be, the military angle seems to be the area that Baruch Hashem, an organization such as AIPAC, has primarily dedicated itself towards addressing, to create friends of Israel who will support the military needs of this state in the face of such innumerable odds. But as you know, life in Israel provides so many other challenges, whether it's the moral and religious state of our people, whether it's the social fissures that we're constantly struggling towards, whether it's the institutions that sometimes don't reflect the type of integrity, the type of honor that we'd like to bring to our people, to its country. And if we become too attached or fixed to one issue, because it's an issue which is a vacuum issue, it sucks the air out of the room, and it occupies so much of our time and so much of our attention, facing our foes, facing our enemies, whether they're enemies on the battlefield or the battlefield of human imagination or the battlefield of economics, the BDS enterprise. We living in Israel, and certainly those who live Israel from a distance, can become somewhat insensitive or even callous to the broader problems that face us, which in many ways are more existential. Nothing is more existential than the military threat because it seeks to destroy our nation in a very physical fashion. But existence isn't just, it isn't primarily defending ourselves. Existence is identity. Existence is the type of actualizing the hopes and dreams we have for a redemptive state. In Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov returns after 20 years of defending himself against his own enemies, against Esav and Lavan, and once again Esav. And the Torah describes the sense of triumph. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem, Ir Shechem, is now returned complete, unscathed, without bearing the scars of his past. You would expect that this return would be the prodigal son returning triumphantly and assuming more tranquil life with success, domestic success, social success, economic success, tranquility, harmony, and prosperity. And right after that pasuk, the entire episode of Dina erupts, and not too far down the line, not too much afterwards, the entire episode of Esav, which is a convulsion which consumes the entire family and ultimately delivers the family back into Egypt. And part of it is that for so many years, Yaakov's attention, as it should have been, was riveted on his external foes, and he emerged successfully, Shalem. But inevitably, that focus and even obsession distracts us from internal issues, simmering hostilities between his wives, latent sibling rivalries, inability to properly engage the local inhabitants. Sometimes we become too fixed and too entrenched in staving off our enemies that we allow simmering fault lines to erupt and unfortunately to create the instabilities that come back to haunt us. So it's a good reminder that our challenge in Israel is not merely Hamas and Hezbollah, Iran and BDS, but our challenges, faceless challenges, natural challenges, are restructuring a people that has been scattered across the sands of time and creating the type of unity, moral code, and institutions of government that reflect upon this divine mission. And then finally, what I sense is a fourth challenge is the challenge of Daniel. Daniel was taken during that first wave of exile in the first Beis HaMikdash, the exile of Yechoniah. He was relocated, he was spirited away with a group of young Jewish leaders and positioned in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, and groomed in the codes and mores of Babylonian aristocracy. And the aim of the Nebuchadnezzar was to reculture Daniel and a young cadre of Jewish leaders so that they could facilitate a seamless transition of Palestinian Jews into Babylonian culture. They would be the leaders. They would be acculturated. And Daniel, to his credit, recognized this cultural challenge and refused to eat Nebuchadnezzar's food, the Pasbag HaMelech. Instead of starving, he asked some guards to bribe some guards to smuggle in some seeds, some nuts or seeds. And because of the seeds that Daniel smuggled in, we were redeemed because of that steadfast refusal to become denatured culturally, to become emasculated. We were redeemed, and 70 or so years later, during the miracle of Purim, Daniel makes a triumphant return, either as Hasach or Harvona. And it is his seeds that serve as the primary source for the reason we eat Hamantashen, or as Nehaman on Purim, which were originally fashioned with poppy seeds. By engaging so enthusiastically and so energetically in the political process, do we further entrench ourselves in that world? Do we take deeper root because the human psychology operates that way? Even if we're successful, we take pride in our success, and we carve our identity based on the grounds in which that success was achieved. Take, for example, the experience of AIPAC and the American Jewish community and just contrast it with the experience of the French Jewish community. Unfortunately, the French Jewish community faced a wave of anti-Semitism, where it's a shame it should, and seems to be under more control, and should be controlled. No one wishes these terrible tragedies, terrible, terrible scourges of human experience. But there's no sense in France that the political system or the political instruments of France can be wielded with such power to assist the people of Israel. If anything, the French community has been, in some ways, in a state of survival, dealing with threats and dealing with vulnerabilities. Because of that, the entire mind space of the French community has shifted more closely to life in Israel, to return to Israel, whether it's the volumes of people who have made Aliyah, the waves of people. We can think about the Russian experience. No one is wishing for the Russian experience to be visited upon American Jewry, chas v'shalom. And no one is wishing for the French experience to be visited upon American Jewry. But during a week in which we reinforce our commitment to Israel by employing the tools available to us in a society, those tools are available because we've become entrenched in society, because we've established positions of such influence. And Baruch Hashem, that's our responsibility. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us these opportunities, we must wield them and employ them to the benefit of our people. But we dare not carve a mental landscape in response solely to these newfound opportunities. If it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we use the gift. But we don't employ those gifts as a prison to further entrench ourselves imaginatively or emotionally. And human nature is tricky that way because it's self-justifying. And if a person decides to live in Chutz La'aretz, that's his or her choice, and there's a range of complex factors that calculate that choice. And at some level, a person could legitimately claim, they feel that, especially a person in a position of significant and widespread influence, that perhaps their presence in Chutz La'aretz is necessary to continue to assist the entire process. But in the grand scale, that may be one factor in a broader calculus, but it can't become the dominant factor subconsciously to justify not just life in Chutz La'aretz, because that doesn't need justification. It's too complex an equation. But mental and emotional entrenchment, which may come upon the heels, would be instigated or deepened, intensified by the successes we reach precisely because we're enmeshed in the American culture. So it's a week of celebration for our people, a week of celebration for our nation. I know there'll be Jews all over the world reciting Mekimi me'afradal, me'ashbosir me'vion, Shivi imni divim, imni divayamo, Moshivi akaras abayis, em habanim smecha haleluka. But I know when I recite it in Alon Shvut, in the Grush Beis Medrash tomorrow morning in Mirz Hashem, part of me will be thinking about 18,000 Jews gathering for this convention and reciting it in their minyanim, or even if they recite it in their hearts. And we should be appreciative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank Hashem for offering us this opportunity. It's absolutely necessary, especially for religious-minded Jews, to bring a religious component towards is purely a political, spirited, visionary, but the basis is non-religious, and to be able to cast this with strokes or brushstrokes of religion. But it's also important to remind ourselves and to retain our humility. As much as we can affect or influence the process, this is a divine drama unfolding. We are privileged to have a small part. Something I didn't mention before, we cannot smirk or devalue those who take other roles in this process. While we are marshaling our forces, creating the type of political pressure to assist the return to Eretz Yisrael, there are other people who are simply getting up at Chatzos HaLaila, reciting Tikkun Chatzos, crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about our lost Beis HaMikdash. Still others who are dedicating themselves to Talmud Torah, hoping that every study and every word of Hashem's will that's better understood by humanity will create a greater presence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world and will ricochet and create a dynamic that's uncontrollable that will lead to Geula. So for those who want to operate on the more empirical and rational sphere, in which there seems to be more direct sense of cause and consequence and causality and creating political pressure. Berchas Hashem Aleichem, Baruch Hashem, you have the schus and your agents of the Rabbonu Shel Olam to return his people to their motherland. But it's with humility and gratitude and also a conservative sense that we may live in 2017 during a period in which these opportunities are available. They may not be available in perpetuity. We will them as we can, but we refuse to allow ourselves to cast the process as geopolitical solely. And certainly we're aware of a broader range of issues that still hinder our achieving our final goals in Eretz Yisrael. And certainly as much as we wield this power, as Daniel wielded whatever political power was available, he refused to eat the pasbag hamelech. He refused to buy in to this denaturing of his culture. Yasher koach to everyone who's taken their time, their effort. Yasher koach to everyone who's marching shoulder to shoulder in this return to Eretz Yisrael.